The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness. When your father tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. Well, there's a lot here. Lord, thank you for this time. And Lord, as we dive into your word, Lord, I just pray that I just get out of the way, Lord, and that your words speak. And Lord, I just thankful for the opportunity just to draw closer to you in the fellowship and the study of your word. And Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 95, if you're reading that, it's an invitational psalm, in that we're invited to do several things here. If you take a look, the first verse here tells us, O come, let us sing to the Lord. So the first verse is inviting us to sing and to worship him. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. You know, that joyful noise is our singing. It's our worship. Now, I can imagine what some of you are probably thinking right now and saying, wait, Brother John, the reason why we have the music turned up so loud is so you can't hear my voice. I don't have the best singing voice. That's not what that's referring to. Our voices together collectively or individually is a beautiful thing to the Lord when his children are singing to him. It doesn't matter if you have the strongest voice or what some would say would be the most beautiful voice ever heard, or if you have a voice that requires a little work. Either one is beautiful to the Lord because he's hearing your heart singing to him, worshiping him, loving him. I know what you're saying. Well, John, you don't understand. This voice is so bad that I only sing when no one else is around and no one else can hear me. I sing in the opera, or not in the opera, I sing in the shower. But sometimes soap gets in my mouth and becomes a soap opera. Yeah, see how I did that? No, okay. I'm here all night, folks. No. But it pleases him when we lift our voices to him in worship and song. All voices to him are beautiful. And I think sometimes that we look at our situation and we go, my voice is not beautiful. To him, your voice is beautiful. When you worship him, that brings a pleasure to him. Keep in mind, isn't that what he created us to do? I mean, our end result is to what? Worship him. And what a pleasure that brings him. Have you ever been at home, maybe sitting on the couch, just relaxing? If you have children or grandchildren or younger ones that come right up to you and they're so excited because they've made you this gift, right? And they put so much time into this gift. I mean, they've crafted this, you know, put a lot of love into it. Maybe they've got their little hands on crayons and they made you this greatest picture that you've ever seen. And when they show it to you, it looks like a mess. I mean, it's just crazy. But you see the love that went behind that, and it becomes one of your most prized possessions. Worship to our Lord, when he hears our voices, we may think of it as a fine mess, but he hears the beauty of that, and that's what he created us to do. So worship it should be a joy. It says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, with joy and praise and thanksgiving. You know, it's not always easy when we come through the doors sometimes on a Wednesday when work has been hammering us all day, right? Or, you know, the regular things of life just seem to creep in, usually on a Wednesday right before church or Sunday right before church. You ever feel those attacks coming? Like, man, is there anything else that can be thrown my way? Don't say that. Don't say that. But isn't that interesting? But it says, come before his presence with thanksgiving. Come before his presence with joy. You know, there's times where I get a chance to help out with worship, and as we're worshiping up here, I see all kinds of different states of worship, per se. You see the people that come in at first, they're looking around. Oh, hey, how you doing? How you doing? It's good to see you, Bob. Oh, hey. You know, saying hello to your friends. But after a couple of songs, once you settle in, you're really starting to think about what you're saying. They're not just words on a page. They're alive to you, and you're lifting your hands and you're worshiping. It seems like all that stress that was on you that the world loves to heap on your shoulders just seems to kind of melt away for a while, because you're doing what really we're created to do, and that's to praise him and worship him. So all those other things that surround us and kind of keep holding us down and pulling us down, they seem to kind of go away when we have our minds focused on what? On him and worshiping him. So let us make a joyful noise to him in psalms, singing songs, a joyful noise in thanksgiving. So here's that invitation to sing to the Lord, to sing to him words of thanksgiving. And there are so many songs. There's hundreds and hundreds of great worship songs out there. And it's hard sometimes when you're going through a list. What do we choose? There's so many different songs, you know. And for someone like me, I'll find a song and I really like that one, and I'll pick that one. But then all of a sudden, the Lord goes, you know what? That's a great song for when you're driving down the road and you want to listen to it in your car and you want to, you know, worship there. But is that really a song that's singing to me, or is it a song that's just kind of singing around me? Church worship should be all, the worship songs that we select should be only pointed towards him. Nothing else should be sharing in there. It's all about Jesus. Again, singing, the invitation here is to sing to the Lord and to sing with to him words of thanksgiving. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. And now this psalm is kind of giving you many reasons why we should be worshiping him. As you take a look at verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. There's our reason. A great King. Doesn't say he's a good King. Doesn't say he's a all right King. He says he's a great King above all gods. But what does that mean, above all gods? Are you talking about, like, you know, these other fictitious gods? No, I'm talking about anything in your life that's taking precedence over him. Could be anything. There's a lot of different things. Each one of us may have smaller gods in our life that we have elevated to a higher status, right? I'm guilty. I know I am. But he's talking about here, above all gods, he's a great King, we should keep our eyes focused on him, for he is worthy to be praised. Talking about in verse 4 here. In his hands are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills are also, and the sea is his, for he made it. His hands formed the dry lands. Just think about that. His hands formed the dry lands. Now, I've been to the mountains before. I've been to Colorado, and I have actually been to California once visiting. So I know Calvary Chapel, there's a lot of Californians in here. But I've been to the mountains, and I've seen them. And they are so powerful. Like, I remember the first time I saw, I went to Colorado, and I actually got to see mountains. And I thought, wow, this is so powerful. I mean, it's just enormous. Sometimes you couldn't even see the top of it because, you know, the cloud coverage was kind of thick that day. You couldn't even see the top of it, but you just look at the power of it and the size of it, and you're like, but as powerful and as big as that is, our God made that. He made that. It's his creation. How cool is that? And then, you know, especially when you look around here, there's not much. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Oklahoma. We have these great, you know, small little hills, and we got a lot of trees and cows. But we don't have that great, you know, sometimes these great huge mountains that just make you remember, as big as they are, our God is bigger. And then so it talks again here, so we are to praise him, to sing joyfully to him, our maker, our God, and our king. But then the psalm says, today, now it's talking again, now it's going back and saying, today, now, if you will hearken unto his voice, hear his voice. I like to say hearken, but hearken unto his voice. How important is it for us to learn to hearken unto the voice of the Lord? Think about that for a second. How important is that for us to know, to hearken unto his voice? Because if you look at the Old Testament, you'll find God speaking throughout multiple times, many, many occasions, God speaking about the many calamities that fell the nation of Israel, right? I mean, how God declared that he wanted them, that he had warned them, sorry, but they would not hearken unto him. He gave them many, many, many warnings. They heard him, but did not hearken unto him. They heard these warnings, but did not listen. And you can read this phrase over and over and over and over again. God declaring regarding the people, they would not listen to me. Again, going back to, they would not hearken unto his voice. I give you a good example. I can be driving down the road with my kids, right? I've got a van full of children, and we're going to, doesn't matter what it is. But before I leave the house, I'll tell my kids, please, don't forget to get your shoes on. Get your shoes on. Got you, Dad. So we get to the door. Kids, shoes, coats, hats, whatever you need. Let's go. Get everything together. We're leaving right now. Got to go. 5 minutes out the door. We hear you, Dad. Great. We're heading out. We're getting in the car. We're piling in. We finally get everybody in the car, buckled in, which is a process. If you have multiple children, getting them in the car, seat belted, car seated, buckled, don't touch me, I'll move you over here. Oh, I can't sit by this one, I'll move you over here. So you do all this, you know, kind of like the shell game with your children in the car. So you get them all put together, everybody's happy, you get in the car, you drive out of your driveway, you finally get on the road, and you're driving down the road, and Cade goes, Daddy, I don't have my shoes on. But you didn't listen to what I just said. I just told you, you would listen to what I just said, we wouldn't have this trouble. We wouldn't have to turn the car back around. Or my kids, another one of the things they love to do, leave the doors open in the house. Just random doors or drawers or anything, they just leave it open. They open it, but they don't close it. And so I'll tell them, close the drawers. I'll go into the kitchen. There's drawers open everywhere, just random ones. And I'll say, what? Why haven't you closed this? And they hear me. They know they hear me. They just don't do it. And then 5 minutes later, someone's coming, running around the corner, right into one of those drawers. And here come the tears. What happened? We went over this many times. We discussed this. This was good for you. If you just close these drawers, you won't run into them. But they didn't listen. Now, I know there have been many times when I have fallen, when I have maybe backslidden a little bit, and I've done something that I know that I should not have done, and the Lord was speaking to me. I heard that voice. Sometimes you're wanting to do something, you're doing it, and you hear this voice, well, I can't be talking to me. Surely he's not talking to me, right? But the problem was, God spoke to me at that time, but I didn't hearken unto his voice. So when that kind of happens, when you don't listen to what the Lord is speaking to you directly, it can be kind of a hardening of the heart. And it was because I wasn't listening to him. I didn't get my shoes on in the car when Dad told me it was time to go. I didn't close the drawer when I know that the kids are going to be flying in and out of that room and that someone can get hit. I was kind of a little bit busy. Reminds me of another worship song that I've heard before. It goes, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to the Lord in prayer. And I also think it's very important that we listen to him when God speaks. We pray a lot, which is great. We should be. Should be on our knees praying more. I should be. I'm not saying you. I'm talking me. But when I do this sometimes, I pray, and then I'm, amen, I'm done. I'm out to the next thing. What's next? What do I got to do? So I forgot the most important step. Conversation is between two people, right? If one person's doing all the talking, is it really a conversation? Or is it just blah, 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 blah? Which is fine. But we need to take that time sometimes. Maybe just to slow down, just for a second. Listen to what he has to say to us. To hearken unto his voice, to hear what our Creator has to say. Right? But sometimes we just don't listen when God is speaking to us. Sometimes we just ignore it because we're busy. We'll say, you know what? I got so much going on in my life right now. I have got kids in school. We've got this going on over here. Oh, we've got, you know, a job. I've got to get this job going. You know, oh, it's so much yard work. It's that time of year we have to do all this yard work. Oh, did we do our taxes yet? What day is it? There's so much going on, right? And you're saying, well, I'll push it off because right now, Lord, I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy right now. But I'll do it in a little bit. Or we say, this is one of my favorite ones because I when I read this, I thought, surely no one would do this. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I have actually one time maybe done this. But think about this. Or we get so into ourselves, we're like, you know what, Lord? I know you're telling me I can't do this, but wait a minute. I've got this. Let me show you what I can do. Right? Does that sink in? We're telling God, no, wait, I know you're telling me this is bad, but I've got this. Let me show you, Lord. I've got this. We kind of push aside the voice of the Lord that is trying to help us, trying to warn us of something. But we're saying, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, but I've got this. You know, the next thing you know, we start to get into big trouble. Something bad happens because of these actions that we're doing. And then guess what happens? It's all your fault, Jesus. I can't believe this is happening to me in my life. Oh, woe is me. And you try to justify certain things. And you wonder why this is happening to you right now. And it's because, again, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. Now, here's something very, very interesting. When I read this, I was like, "Wow, that's very true." That the New Testament, in the New Testament, as Jesus is addressing the letters to the seven churches through John, that in each of the letters to the seven churches, Jesus repeats this phrase saying that he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. It's multiple times in several letters. Why is that? Because it's so important. It's a warning. It's a warning to listen to what God has to say to us. So I'll say again, hearken unto his voice. Okay, you said that many times, but what is God saying? Well, verse 8. Take a look at that. This is what he's saying. Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. There are many people who have hardened their hearts to God. They have walked away from the church, walked away from fellowship, because he didn't answer the prayer according to the way they demanded that. They were upset with God because he didn't follow their instructions specifically in prayer. He laid it out just so, right? Lord, I told you exactly how to do this, right? And it says here, Lord, I told you what I wanted, but you didn't do what I demanded. So you know what? I'm finished. I'm walking away. They've hardened their hearts to the Lord because they didn't get what they wanted in prayer. And it hardened their hearts against him. It's coming from a total misunderstanding of what prayer truly is about. Prayer is not a way to get everything you want done on earth. Let me say that again. Prayer is not a way to get everything you want done on earth. Prayer is about getting his will done on earth and how we as a brotherhood, how can we cooperate? What can we do? How can you use us to help? And the main thrust of prayer isn't my will be done. Rather, your will be done. I'll give a good example. Ever watch your kids playing in the backyard? They invite some friends over, right? First, the kids ring the doorbell, ding dong. You know, there's all the excitement and the happy, the joy, the hugs, the screams. Oh, there's energy in the house, right? Oh, best friends are all together. Kids are going to go outside and play. They go outside and play. First hour is great. Second hour, there starts to be a little bit of arguing. I want to play baseball. Well, little Timmy wants to play soccer. Well, I want to play baseball. No, I want to play soccer. Well, you know what, Timmy? I'm going to take my ball and I'm going home because you don't want to play the games that I want to play. That was usually me. And they are that way with God. If you don't, they don't get what they want, they're finished. And they harden their hearts against God because he hasn't yielded to what they're demanding. We try to force him to do things our way. And that's hardening our hearts. And there are some times when people have hardened their hearts also because of painful circumstances in their life. Major disappointments that have come. Things that maybe have major losses, some real hurts. And there's a pain there, and there's maybe they just don't see a way out of that. And they see just the heavy trials. They don't see a way out of that. They feel all this pressure and they feel all these issues pressing down on them and they feel that God hasn't responded to them. So they turn their back. They thought the Christian life would be an easy life, right? Easy street. Problem is, we often close the book on something before we even finish the story. So, anybody who likes to read a good book, imagine if you're reading a really good book. The first chapter is just awesome. You get hooked. So the first like 9 chapters blow by. You don't even know you just read that many, but you keep going on and on and on. Now you get, let's say, 3/4 of the way done the book, and then all of a sudden, the main character, which you like to follow, is really going through some hard times, is really going through some struggles, and you see this going on, and you're like, you know what? I can't read this book anymore. I'm done. You close it. But if you would have read just a couple more chapters, you would have saw a glorious ending in that. But you closed the book before you got to the last chapter. You walked away before the glorious end. You judged the story before reading the end. Just as the people who hardened their hearts judged the stage in their life and couldn't see the work that's going on, the progress that's going on in their life. They saw this trial as, you know, an end story, not seeing that God is working things out through this trial. Kind of reminds me of another worship song. Imagine that, right? It's called Refiner's Fire. We sing it here every now and then at this church. But the trials that we go through are all a part of his refining process. Like the refining process of gold, They heat the gold up, right? They heat it up and they boil it up to where it's a liquid. And what they're doing is they're heating that gold up so much that they're getting rid of the dross. They're getting rid of the stuff that's not pure. It's boiling it out. It's getting rid of it. And that's kind of what, not kind of, but that is what the Lord is doing with us. You know, we're going through these trials. We're going through these fires. And our body does not like that. Our flesh does not like that. It's not fun to go through a trial. No one wakes up and goes, man, I'm going through this trial. It's so good. No, they're not fun. They're not fun. Our flesh recoils at it. Our flesh doesn't want to go through it because our flesh likes what it likes. It doesn't want to be refined. It wants to go the direction that it wants to go. God is refining us. He's getting out those things in our lives that don't need to be there. He's working those things out that control our lives, that those smaller gods in our lives, he's getting rid of that stuff, burning it out. That dross is going away. He's refining us. What image is he refining us in? The image of Christ. Don't know how he does that. I see my image and I'm like, whew. I don't know how you do it. But in this process, he is making us pure. He is making us holy by removing the sin, removing the dross. God uses these things to help mold us, to help shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. Harden not your heart. Then the psalm uses its own history against him. This is very interesting. It talks about the father in the wilderness, making reference to the day when their fathers provoked God in the wilderness and tried to tempt God. They began to talk against the Lord, right? Making accusations. Was it because there weren't enough graves in Egypt that they brought us out here to die? We're all going to die in this wilderness, they were saying. Yes, God gave us bread to eat, but can he provide flesh in the wilderness? They said, God took us out here to kill us with thirst. They were saying everything under the sun. They were even like, why did we even listen to this Moses guy in the first place? Right? So they're miserable. They're all backbiting. There's all this conversation going on. And, you know, they're saying, why did we even follow him? It's better if we just stayed in Egypt. They forgot how bad the slavery was there. They forgot that the Pharaoh ordered to kill all the first sons. Or not first sons, but every male child that was born. Sorry. They started to look at Egypt and kind of lust for a return. They even tempted God with a golden calf. And they finally tempted God when God brought them to the land, right? They looked at the borders and everything of the promised land. He said, I will go before you and drive out the inhabitants of the land. But they said to the Lord, hey, there's giants in these lands, and they will kill our children. We cannot enter this land. Okay. I know I'm not in this scene here personally, but we're seeing this, you know, and reading this and experiencing this. But God himself is moving these people to this promised land. He's brought them there. They are there. God is speaking to them, saying, go, here's your land. No, Lord, there's giants in there. We're too afraid. I don't understand. You're talking to the Lord. They didn't trust in him. They didn't hearken unto his voice. God said to them, all right then. You're not going to go into this land. You will perish in the wilderness. And your children, who you said would be slain by these giants, they're going to rise up after you perish and they're going to enter the land. You will not enter into my rest. Problem was a heart issue. There wasn't a full commitment. There's the mental commitment and a heart commitment, right?
Kind of two different things. I've made many mental commitments to stop eating Reese's peanut butter cups. It has not happened. It just hasn't. But I have made a heart commitment to my Lord and Savior. So easy to talk, right? No, really, I'm not a crybaby. No, I'm not that type, no. But I will say, there's a difference between a mental commitment and a heart commitment. And a heart commitment is something that you will stand behind no matter what, good times, bad times, no matter what trials or tribulations come your way, no matter what is put in front of you, you're not going to stand down. No matter what has come your way, you are going to worship Him. No matter how bad your day is, you're still going to praise the Lord. It's a heart commitment. Mental commitment means, you know what, I'm going to praise you when I feel well. I'm going to praise you only when the time is right, when everything around me is in perfect swing. Maybe I have a headache today. I'm not going to worship you. It's one of those things. That is a mental commitment. God isn't looking for a mental commitment. He's looking for a heart commitment. And it takes a spirit to change the heart. A mental commitment to the Lord are the ones that can fall aside when things get tough. Like my diet, I keep saying I'm going to do. It was a good commitment in the mind to say, I'm going to follow Him out of Egypt, out of slavery and death. And we're going to enter into a new land with wonderful streams and valleys and just abundance of everything, right? Lush vegetation, we're going to go there. But they made a commitment of their mind, but not of their hearts. They did err in their hearts. They didn't understand His ways. The path to victory and blessings has many trials and testings. It's not an easy path. But what is your commitment to the Lord? What is your commitment to the Lord? Is it a mind one? Mindful one? Is it a mindset? Is it just a mental one? I'm going to make a mental commitment. Or is it a heart set where He has changed you completely? Where you are sold out 100% for Him. Your heart has changed. It's not that rock hard, solid heart anymore. It has been molded. That gold has been melted down and that dross has been removed. That sin has been removed. Forming in the image of Christ, each and every one of us here, again, because of Him, nothing to do with us. But I just want to leave you with one thing. What is your commitment to the Lord? Lord, thank You for this time. And just an opportunity, Lord, just to draw close to You in the study of Your word. And thank You, Lord, for just the psalm of encouragement, to be able to just encourage us to worship You, to reach out to You, to sing to You. And Lord, I just pray that as this family here, of brothers and sisters, Lord, that You just draw us so close together as a family, worshiping You. And thank You for every person that You bring to here to this body, the servants You provided, just the many things, Lord, that You're doing here at Calvary Chapel and all Your churches, Lord. Lord, we just pray that we hearken unto Your voice and hear Your voice and hear Your word. Because we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.